Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Today we celebrate what is called November 13th, the Chief Elder, Jesus Christ as our Chief Elder. Now, I have to explain what that means. We did not give Jesus a nifty title of Chief Elder. Chief Elder in the ancient Moravian Church was actually an administrative and political position. It was the position of the Chief Elder to administrate the entire worldwide church. And for years, the Moravian Church had someone who was elected to that position. Now, the election came through the lot, and people had to be put into a basket and then a name drawn out. The chief elder, the one who did not want to serve, would then ask to be relieved of that responsibility. And you can imagine what a large responsibility it was. Well, at one time, one synod, there was a vacancy for the chief elder, and the Moravian Church decided through prayer and through the pulling of the lot that Jesus should be the chief elder. Now, it wasn't an election per se. It wasn't elevating Jesus to a certain height in a human institution. What it was the recognition that no institution and no person would be our savior, would be our leader. Now, that doesn't mean that the Moravian Church said, you know what, we don't need an administration anymore. We don't need an institution anymore. We'll just go do our own thing and Jesus will take care of everything. There were still leaders in the church. There was still administration. But we understood beyond a shadow of a doubt that no institution could save us. And I think that's an important message for this day and time, especially after an election. No institution and no person can save us. No institution and no person, as fine as they may be, can give us our sense of meaning, our sense of worth, our sense of purpose. I came from a very political household. And oh, we love to get into political discussions. Now, it was fine when I was a child, and most children follow whatever their parents say, but we came to a time in our lives when the children and the parents had two different political philosophies. Dinner time would be very interesting. So with every election, we had half the family in joy and the other half in despair. Half the family saying, what is our country coming to? And the other half going, yes. But after the dust settled, we all went on because we knew one fact, that although we exercised our civic duty and voted, our citizenship, it was not here. Our citizenship was with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there's a message that the writer to the Hebrews gave to people who were in distress, to people who didn't know what was going to happen in their world, to people for whom life was very difficult and very dangerous. And he said this, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. Well, what does hold fast mean? Hold fast means to take something in a vice-like grip. You parents know what I'm talking about. When my kid was little and we would go on the metro in Washington, D.C., I would grab that little one's hand. And if he could not move, even if he tried, because I knew it was vitally important to me to keep a hold on that boy so that he'd be safe. Now, life came full circle, and this past summer, I went to a concert with him with a lot of screaming teenagers, and after the concert, there was a huge crowd of people, and they were all trying to get out the door, and I was a little panicked because it was such a crush of people, and I had another vice-like grip on my son, but instead of me leading him, he was leading me out. That's the type of grip we need to hold. And it says, hold fast, have a vice-like grip on what? On our confession. Now, a confession is not a creed that we spout off and half the time we don't know what we're talking about. Our confession is not, well, I believe in something. Our confession is what we hold most dear, what we profoundly believe that's going to make a difference in how we act, what we believe in the core of our being. So let me tell you what my confession is this morning. My confession is that when God chose to break into history, he did not come to the rich and powerful. He came to the obscure. He came to people who lived anonymously and in poverty. When that young boy grew into a man, he worked with his hands. He worked with his dad as a handyman. So everything I do with my hands, every work is sacred because of Jesus. When he grew up and became the great preacher, he didn't put on priestly robes. He was not welcomed in the temple. He was not a Pharisee. He walked around the villages. And he not only taught, but he healed the brokenhearted, and he set the captive free, and he raised the dead, and he opened the eyes of the blind. And when the powers of evil came against him and destroyed his life, and as he hung on the tree, my confession is the person that I follow forgave his murderers. And then 3 days later, the animating spirit of God came and raised him up. And the Bible says that that same animating spirit of God is within us. That animating spirit of God who tells us that our citizenship is not here, it's in heaven. That animating spirit of God that gives hope to the hopeless. That animating spirit of God that when I have the privilege of waking up in the morning says, this is a new day. And even if I've completely lost my way, that animating spirit of God will put me in the path I need to be in. It's the animating spirit of God that gives hope in hopelessness and light in the darkness. In 1968, there was a man who stood the day before he was to be gunned down by an assassin's bullet. His name was Martin Luther King Jr. That man was living in absolute terror. He should have been in terror for his life. He was getting death threats daily. His house was firebombed. Not only was he living in the darkness of this threat that he was going to be killed, but he also had a group of people in government that were trying to discredit him and destroy his reputation. And he got up on the eve of his assassination, and he said something quite remarkable. He said, I am not afraid. I am not anxious or afraid of anyone. I'm not sure how I would have responded to that. But you see, he had a vice-like grip on what he believed. He had a vice-like grip on the grace and the mercy of God that could transcend even death. So tomorrow morning, if God gives us the grace to wake up to a new day, how will you respond and how will you live? I hope it's to ask for Jesus to walk with us through this day. I hope it's to ask that we can be the hands and feet of the one whom we've confessed on Sunday morning, the one who can heal the sick, bind up the brokenhearted, set the captive free. There is so much good that we can do in this life. We have the animating spirit of God within us. And now let's act the way he would like us to act. May God grant to each of us an understanding that our citizenship is someplace else. Let us pray. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take that name where'er you go, precious name. Oh, how sweet hope of earth and joy of heaven, precious name. Oh, how sweet hope of earth and joy.